Welcome to another episode of the Honest Tattooer Podcast. My name is John Mesa, and I'm joined by my co-host, Matt Triano.
Hey, how you doing?
And we have two guys on the panel today. We have the homie, Hermes.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hermes. Yeah.
And our guest, Brandy. What's up, man?
What's up?
And you are from?
Originally from New York, then moved to Florida, then now back in New York.
How long have you been tattooing?
20 years.
20 years tattooing.
20 years.
Cool. And what kind of tattoos do you like to do?
I like to do everything, but mostly things that look like they would come out of like a sketchbook.
Okay.
Kind of style.
Okay. So sketchy stuff.
Sketchy stuff.
Nice. He likes sketchy stuff.
You do. And by the way, I saw one piece that you did the other day and I really liked it, Amrise. It was dope. It was was it on a person's back or rib or something like that?
The three figures?
Yes, the three figures.
Cool.
The three figures. I really like the three figures. That was dope.
Thank you.
Very nice work.
I like that tat.
It was good size too.
Yeah, so. I like when your work is big.
You know what? I'm trying to do bigger work this year, so that's on the checklist.
How's that going with promoting the pieces that you want to do by showing models?
You know, I did that for a bit. I need to show more.
Okay.
And then I'm trying to be more diverse with the bodies I'm showing, and I'm having a hard time finding good photos because I want some chubbier models.
Yeah.
And that's not easier to find. Like the right
call to artists, man. Call to artists.
Finding the right
lighting.
Just put it out there. I need this.
Can I give you a little idea?
Sure.
Dude, just grab models of just like, you know, those like the chubby Renaissance kind of era, like girls and stuff like that. Just grab those and put the tattoos on just already.
That's
like
a good idea.
Chilly women.
Is it because you want to tattoo chubby women or you just want to feel inclusive?
A bigger surface is always nice.
Yeah.
But I just want to show...
He's not trying to be weight.
Different.
It does for sure matter because then like somebody that size would see it and be like, oh, well, like, look at what it looks like on her.
Yeah.
Well, for a while when I used to paint bigger figures.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's fun. Like to show something different.
No, that's cool. I used to always use just like somebody that was like instantly recognizable because I feel like that can
people relate to it quicker.
Yeah, people will relate to it. That'll make them stop off the rip, you know? So if you grabbed there's this like plus size model that's gorgeous. I can't remember her name. I think she was on the cover of like Sports Illustrated model. Like,
yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, like she's
can't think of her name.
Like, you know, people are swiped, they're gonna, oh, it's that chick. Mm-hmm. She's tattooed up. You know what I'm saying? Like it just grabs attention and it'll get people to stop.
So, and that photo was already made to like attract attention.
Yeah.
I'm doing both with more well-known and also smaller, not so famous models.
Yeah.
Because then I can promote them.
Because like how, so there was that whole lawsuit with Kat Von D. She was using some other photographer's image.
Yeah.
How, like, what are the ethics about using another photographer's image to then sell your product?
I would say give them credit.
Yeah.
They don't care.
So what sure.
In the caption, photo taken by blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Done. So yeah, usually it. I tag both the photographer and the model.
But what if you don't know?
Huh?
What if you don't know?
You're going to find out.
If you don't know, you put unknown, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But if you do know, most of them are okay. I've had situations where the model is like, you know what? I'm not digging this.
Right.
Can you take this off?
And they'll let you know.
Yeah. They'll let you know. And you could always put like photographer unknown, please contact for credit. On the bottom, covering your ass.
Yeah.
I think it's more on their end, like how badly they want to chase it.
If they don't like it, they will immediately contact you.
Yeah.
So whoever works out for you, just keep using them.
Yeah.
Whoever doesn't complain.
Yeah. I like to just pull random photos from Pinterest, but then I worry about that exact thing. Like, man, what if the photographer or the model sees this and like, yeah, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
Oh, bro. Give it to ChatGPT. Make you a whole new model, bro. Like,
yeah.
I like models that look like this. Give me like another example of somebody that looks like this. Boom.
Yeah.
They'll give you one right away.
That's why that Instagram is better though. Cause you can, you know who the model is. You know who the f- photographers.
Right. It has all the both information.
Tag each other. And
yeah,
there's this cycle of promoting each other. So
for sure. I always forget that Instagram is now a search engine.
Yeah.
It's pretty much. Yeah.
They'll probably put AI in there soon too, just like Google, where it like tries to
guess.
It'll give you like an explanation of what you searched, and then you go look at the search results below it. You're just sitting there watching it think like, wow, this is like ChatGPT, but it's in Google.
I just saw some news about like TikTok possibly creating an app that's going to be kind of like Instagram.
In what way? Is it already?
It's to replace the, because they have to shut down TikTok.
Okay.
Something that's like more photo heavy, I guess.
Didn't Instagram copy TikTok because TikTok had the better...
The reels.
They had like the better performing platform.
Yeah.
So why would TikTok now want to do photos if it's not as good?
Because you got to compete with your competitor.
I think they have to do something different, because if it's too close to the same thing, then they're going to chase them again.
Okay.
I think they're chasing them for the video content because it's people are getting like real news and they don't want you to have real news.
They don't want you to have
real news. They don't want you. That's why they're shutting down TikTok.
Oh, man.
It's news from the source. Like, it's not something about this country. It's like somebody in that country, like, filming it firsthand.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't like that.
Ooh. That's wild.
I think if they do a photo-based thing, it'll work, because all the people that can't use TikTok anymore are going to immediately go over to the new app.
Where have they banned...
I thought it was just government stuff. Like, I thought it was just government officials that are.
I think there's a shutdown date now. It's like towards the end of this year, but like, it's like September something. Like,
they banned TikTok India
for shutdown.
India banned TikTok, right?
I think so.
Oh, really?
So, and I think China, maybe China.
Huh?
I think maybe also China.
I mean, it's Chinese. For who? So I don't.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
The September date is for who?
For TikTok being like shut down, completely shut down.
Across
in China too?
Yeah.
Everywhere?
Wow.
Like all crazy. The people on the platform now that are using it as a job trying to figure out like what they're going to do next.
I just started TikTok.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have to make the switch.
So yeah, there's a big eye opener for all the tattooers, just anybody really in general who relies on social media as their one source of either income or promotion or marketing. Like, you need to kind of broaden your horizons a little bit and stop putting all of your eggs in one basket.
Sure.
This could happen to any platform.
To anyone.
Yeah.
That's why you need a good mailing list.
Exactly.
You know,
a good mailing list. And that's why you need to have a solid client base that's going to.
You got to have that ear hustle.
Yeah. The ear hustle. The good old word of mouth. So you tattoo up in Albany, New York.
Albany, New York. New experience for me. So I'm starting from scratch.
Okay. How long have you been tattooing there?
Since September.
Okay, so it's very fresh.
Yeah.
And you were down in Florida before that?
Florida before that. Okay. Owned my own studio with a homie of mine. And I thought I would miss it, but closing down the shop was kind of like, it was nice. It's like a breath of fresh air.
I feel like it's so opposite to have someone from Florida move up to New York.
That's what everybody here says that.
And upstate.
Why New York? Yeah. Why New York's like, why Florida? Like, Florida sucks, dude.
I'm going to say, why Albany? That's really
Troy.
That's my question. Why Albany?
So we live in Troy, and then I work in Albany. My wife is from Albany. Like, she was born in Albany.
Okay.
But she made it a point to, like, not get a place in Albany.
Okay.
That's why we live in Troy. Troy's nice.
What's the distance?
It's like a 10-minute bus ride.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
Cool.
$1.30 to get to work.
Man, tattooing Albany, I don't know what it's like. I've been up there. But
it's pretty busy. It's like going backwards a little bit, because now I'm in a street shop and I'm doing walk-ins again. But it's a lot of fun. It's so much fun. Just the fast pace and getting back out of working in a private studio.
Yeah, what I want to know is, how is it going from owning your own place to now working for somebody else?
The owner runs a really good shop. It's a really nice shop. It's a really big shop. And I've never had anything like that before. So it's like, I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
How many people do you work with?
I think there's five or six tattooers and then one piercer. And they're all like, really good. They've all been there for a long time. So they're established. So I'm the one that's like, got to get my people.
Yeah.
New kid on the block.
That's right.
when I, you know, I watched them tattoo, they watched me tattoo, and I wanted to get into a place where people were most likely way better than me so I can learn off of them.
Yeah.
But it seems to be like they're watching me because I'm the new guy from Florida.
True.
Like, don't, I want to learn from you. Like, don't learn from me.
I mean, man. I feel like it's a, like a double thing when you're new at a shop. People are looking at your work to see, I'm like, is this going to be good?
Exactly.
Is this going to be
judgment
bad?
Every single day. It's so I tell them the whole story.
If you remember a few weeks back, we had Ed from Tattoo Armor on the podcast, and he was able to hook us up with a discount code for our followers. So Tattoo Armor is literally the best way to wrap your client. I've been using it. Matt's been using it, and it's just awesome. There's no mess. There's no glue, and it's just super comfortable. I hope you can try it for yourself and just go on to Tattoo Armor and use the code HONESTTATTOOR for 20% off your order.
What were you going to say, Matt?
So you said new kid on the block, and now I'm trying to find... Somebody messaged us on Patreon, and he messaged us a while ago, and I just saw it today for the first time. It's like a few weeks old. I'm sorry, I don't have your name. I don't remember who it was, but he was asking if we had any advice on being like the new guy in the tattoo shop who doesn't quite yet feel like he is open enough to like just kind of hang out and feel comfortable with everybody, right? And I was like, yeah, man, I know exactly the feeling. Cause when I first started working at No Idols, coming from where I was, yeah. I felt like I was the eighth grade kid in middle school, like top of the sphere, like everybody else was beneath me. Right. And then I came to No Idols and now I'm the freshman and all you guys are the seniors. And I felt like the new kid on the block.
I
was
just
like,
started again.
Go low, man. Yeah. Yeah. It was intimidating, but I get it.
It's good and bad.
Yeah.
Exciting, but scary.
Yeah.
I feel like, though, those are the moments where you get that push.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, those are the moments where you really kind of get that push. You're like, oh shit, I'm gonna kill it because these guys are killing it. I'm gonna fucking push this shit. I think that's good. I feel like that pushes growth no matter how you see it.
I'm sure you approached it too, like how you approach everything, just, you know, best foot forward.
Yeah.
Do the best you can and it'll work out.
I mean, I definitely felt like I needed to step up my game, which was... It was the push I needed too.
Right.
Damn, Matt. We've been working together for how long? 6 years?
Dang.
2006 we started, right?
Not six. No. We've been
16,
working.
No, yeah. 16. I'm sorry. 16.
16?
Yeah. I had six in my mind.
Okay.
2016.
So
8 years.
Eight years.
8 years, bro.
Was that the old shop and this shop?
Yeah.
Combined?
Yeah.
That's cool.
8 years.
Time flies. Time flies by.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Before we were dads.
That's right.
It's cool to have a shop full of those, though. Because then you don't have to explain yourself.
Yeah.
We get it.
It's like, I got some shit to do with my kids. Like, no problem, man.
Yeah. I mean, even just being a married guy, too. Like, over the weekend, we were at the convention in Hudson Valley. And my client... So it's funny. So he had an appointment with me on Sunday. On Saturday, he texts me, hey, dude, I'm here. I'm like, what? Why? So he fucked up. Him and his wife came up, drove like 2 hours to the convention. And when I finally saw him, he was like, yeah, I don't know, man. I just made a mistake. And then his wife just like looked dead at me, pissed. I was like, oh, man, I know what he's going to go through right
shit.
Now. So the next day he comes back for his actual appointment and whatever, you know, they were dealing with over text. He was like, I don't know, man. I think I might only have like another hour left before I go. Like, dude, just go home now.
Just go now.
Like I've been there. I know what it's like. So
is the guy from the area?
He's from Jersey.
Jersey.
Yeah.
Still a 2 hour drive.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. You guys were close to me. I wanted to make it out to that convention, but I was slammed at the shop.
Man, that convention is great.
Yeah.
That convention was awesome. Guys, if you're in the New York tri-state anywhere area, I guess, you know, go to the Hudson Valley Tattoo Convention. It's a great show with amazing artists. Overall, really well, really well organized, and the caliber of artists is to the top.
Heavy hitters.
Yeah, man.
Is that the one that's invite only?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I wanted to check it out really bad.
Which it's funny because...
Because I'm not invited.
Right. Yet. So here's what I wanted to say about that.
It's best though.
So we tried to get other people from the shop up into the convention. If like maybe we could swap out, like I'll work a day, someone else from the shop will
switch out.
And they told us no.
No.
But I know for a fact that other shops did that this weekend.
That's messed up. Shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Favoritism.
Or you just have to show up.
Or you just got to be really good at it. Just wear the same clothes. And
well, to be fair, one of the guys that I talked to was like, yeah, we just didn't ask.
We just did it. We just did it. You know?
I'll grow my beer. It's okay.
There's all kinds of convention hacks.
Yeah.
I think also in some of those cases, right? Like when, like we got invited as individual artists, and I think sometimes they'll just send an invite to the shop.
Yeah.
Without, you know, that's why like there's no specification, I think. But I think that that's the difference.
So if they send it to the shop, does that mean everybody in the shop is invited?
I guess.
Well, it's like, yeah, you get a shop booth and then you guys figure it out.
That's cool.
You know, different than like, you know, they send Matt an invitation and John an invitation and they're like, oh, I'm expecting you guys there.
Yeah.
How many people, how many artists?
We had four from the shop.
Four from the shop.
Yeah. And
how many was it total for the whole convention, you think?
Maybe 200.
Yeah, probably about 200.
200.
Oh, okay. That's cool. It's like intimate.
Yeah.
It's not like too crazy and then everybody's like super good.
Man, I was walking around and there were a lot of familiar faces, but then I got to meet new people too. And it's not like overwhelming where I met so many people where I don't remember who they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
But those new people is like what makes it worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
Just that little bit.
Yeah.
That little chunk.
I had a lot of people come up to me and be like, oh man, thank you for telling me about this printer. Or tell me how to do this.
Yeah. So many changing people. Lives.
John
changing
witnessed lives. That we were in the lobby of the hotel. Yeah. Some guy came up to me. I felt bad about that guy too, because you were trying to get into the elevator and I was like trying to catch up behind you. And this guy was talking behind me. I was like, oh no.
I don't think you guys realize, like, you realize it, but what you're really doing here is like helping a lot of people out.
Thanks, man.
Like a lot of people.
Thanks. It was really nice. I had quite a few people at the convention just say, like, hey man, listen to the podcast. Good stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, that's all you got to say. Yeah. And we appreciate every one of you guys that, you know, said something nice about the podcast, because we do it every week and we try to stay consistent and we take time out of our lives and times out of spending with our families to bring you guys something of value.
And we appreciate it.
John and I didn't even tattoo today and we trekked into the city just to do this
just
for you
to
guys.
Do this for you guys.
So on my way here, I was thinking about it. So we are right now recording episode number 70.
Number 70.
Damn.
Oh, wow. Our 100th episode will be recorded on Thursday, November 7th.
Sweet.
Let's make a note of that and do something special for the 100th episode.
Yeah, let's do for the 100th.
Does it feel like you've done that many?
No.
It doesn't feel like it, right?
No, not at all.
That's crazy.
It's wild.
70 episodes.
Yeah.
70 episodes times of like doing all of this.
All of this.
It's probably been 64 of doing this. Yeah. And there were six other random locations.
Figure all this out. How does this light work?
So
this?
I have listened and then re-listened to certain episodes and then watched them because I want to see what it's like listening and then like watching and listening.
Yeah.
And you could see like how it, you guys figured things out like from the beginning till now.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like the positioning is better. The lighting is better. Like everything is,
I mean, equipment.
I think one of the first ones, it was like four people at a table.
Yep.
Yeah. Or like three or four people at a table.
Yeah. Yeah. Those first few episodes. It's funny too. The first few episodes we had the same lighting, but for whatever reason, it just looks so shitty. Like,
cause we just like turned it up all the way up. We're just like, we got lights, put it bright.
Dude. Like each episode, it's like you tweak it a little bit and then a little bit. And now it's like,
now it's nice.
Yeah, it's a scientific method, you know,
but there's no stopping there. Like,
no, you just got to keep learning.
You're going to keep going.
Now it's all about learning the editing, the ins and outs of that. Like I was just telling you about the noise gates on the microphones.
Yeah.
It's a lot of little tidbits of intricacies now.
Who does, do you do the editing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
AI, man, it's been helping a lot.
Really?
Yeah, so I told John last week after we were recording with Nikki, I was like, man, so we recorded on Thursday night and then we had to pack up and do the convention all weekend. And then Monday is when the episodes usually go out.
Yeah.
And I told John, I was like, man, I'm not going to have time to edit this. Dude, Sunday night after I got home from the convention, which was late, by the way.
It was late.
Because we went out to eat. We went out to eat upstate. So I still had an hour drive home. Like I didn't get home until close to midnight.
Yeah, that's exhausting.
And I had that episode out by like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. He was ready. Yeah. I was like, damn.
Determination.
What time you wake up, Matt?
7:30.
Yeah.
I think also in the back of your head, there's a little voice like, what about the listeners?
Totally.
You're like, fuck, should I go to sleep now or just like stay up a little bit?
Just going on his freaking phone. What the hell?
Well, I mean, I can relate to that because I walk and I take the bus to work every day and there's a new episode. That's what I'm listening to.
Yeah. I do it for you.
So you ride the bus every day to work. Let me ask you, do you have like your like usual bus rider mates that are taking the bus at the same time?
It's always different. Like there's enough people to where it can be completely different every single day. And like the bus drivers are different. Like I don't know anybody. There's no common anything. It's like always different.
Not even the bus driver.
The bus drivers like switch out
routes.
So like I'm starting to recognize them, but there's like several that like drive the same bus that I take.
Total opposite of what I imagine.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what up, Bill? How's it going today?
But, you know, it's a typical bus. Yeah. You know? There'll be like some creepy guy, like, hitting on the one pretty girl on the bus. Like, so what's your name? Like, where are you from? What's your story? It's like, I always look at them like, dude, it's not working. She's not interested in you. Like,
oh, man.
She's not going to give you her number.
So we, you know, you reached out to us to talk about some things. And Matt mentioned about doing trades for tattoos with people, right?
Absolutely. Barter system.
A good barter system.
Yeah. Facebook Marketplace is untapped resource for tattooers, I think.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Facebook Marketplace. So it started, do you want the story?
Yeah. Get into it.
So it started, I wanted a bike. And currently didn't have a car at the moment, so I'm going for a bike. And there's tons of bikes on Facebook Marketplace.
So a motorcycle?
Yes. Okay. There's tons of them. And all different shapes and sizes, prices. But I started, it's free to message people. It doesn't cost anything to ask a question. So I just asked every bike that I saw that I liked, that was fairly priced. Trade for tattoos? Question mark. And then, you know, sometimes you get a reply, sometimes you don't. Sometimes they say no, but every once in a while, like, somebody will say yes. And then you're like, all right, they're like, let me see your work, da 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 da. And I ended up with a 1979 Honda.
Nice.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
So what was the price tag on that?
It was a piece of crap and it was like $500. Okay.
Do you think that you did $500 worth of tattoos or more or less?
I'll never do less. I'll always end up doing more just because I'm trying to like impress them. Because outside of getting the bike, they could become a client.
Right.
Like instantly become a client. And once you get them in the chair, you get something on them, then it's, you know, you let the magic happen.
Now you got them hooked.
Yeah. Like, that's hey, man, I really like the work you did. Da 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 da. Like, I'll hit you up for my next one. Like, cool. And now I'm going to go work on this bike.
Cool. Bike looks really good.
Oh, yeah. I showed it to you. Yeah. It took a year. I didn't know what I was doing. Never owned a bike, never built a bike, but I stripped it down and rebuilt the entire thing from scratch. Cool. Then I ended up selling it before we moved. But I'm going to do it again up here. I'm probably going to do it again up here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've traded for lots of things. Like I just got an Xbox recently, Series X.
Okay.
Sealed in a box I did a Kraken tattoo on some guy's leg and gave me an Xbox.
That's so funny. I've never traded for products. I've traded for other services. I had a lot of work done on my house. I got a new roof. Got there a fence around my property.
There you go.
I got a lot of work done on my trucks.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I've never traded for a product though.
Yeah, I have an art studio in my house. I'm like, I need a TV. I need a game console. And so I just started trading people for everything that I needed. And then they're like, I just recently traded for camera equipment. Did a chess piece and this girl gave me a Nikon DSLR, multiple lenses, a bag, and she's giving me a tripod.
How many of those people would you say actually turned into repeat clients?
All of them.
Do they then try to continue to trade more stuff or do they start being paying customers?
If they have stuff to trade, yes. But if they don't, then they're just like, fuck it, I'm just going to pay.
Okay.
Because they're like, now I know somebody, I'm comfortable with the work. Like, you know.
Build a relationship.
Yeah, build a relationship.
Man, that's smart. That's really smart.
Yeah, that's a smart way. I've never thought of that. But guess what? I'm going to go on there.
Do it. Yeah.
I'm like, man, I've been looking for someone to do like custom woodwork and I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
And whatever you can think of is on there.
Yeah. Man, if I wasn't a dad of two, I would be doing your custom woodwork for you.
Oh, man.
I just don't have the time right now.
I know, dude. That's why I wouldn't even ask, bro. I was like, Matt already has a bazillion things on his plate, dude. The last thing he needs to do is to build anything.
It's fun. It's fun doing that.
I do enjoy it.
Yeah, when my
keeps you busy.
Client the other day was showing us the stuff that he makes. I'm like, damn, you make all this stuff?
He's right. Yeah. Did you ask him?
No, he does it just for a side gig. And I'm like, is that your side hustle? He's like, no, actually, I'm a roofer for my side hustle. And his full-time job, he's a fireman.
I'll finish this back piece if you build me whatever.
You build me this.
Yeah.
Too. Maybe.
Especially if he's already got tattoo work done. Makes it that much easier.
Yeah, how much more of that back piece you got left?
I got... maybe at least 3 more sessions.
And then what do you want built?
I want like a full, like built in, like shelving system kind of into the wall kind of deal.
Okay.
You get 3/4 of it.
Custom.
You want to hear about the craziest trade that hasn't happened yet?
Yeah.
Guy's going to trade me AMC Rambler. It's like a 1966 AMC Rambler.
What is that?
It's just an old, like, it's a real nice looking car from back in the day. It's like one of the more affordable kind of family cars.
Okay.
But if you saw it, you wouldn't think that. You'd be like, this thing is, it's a hot rod, but it's not fast at all. But this thing is, it's garage kept, and we agreed at something like 50 plus hours of work for like an even trade.
Okay.
The guy lives in Connecticut. Obviously, I live in New York. So the test is if you can get it from Connecticut to my house in Troy, then I'll do the trade.
Yeah. Cool. Because
he's like, it hasn't driven in a while. It needs some work. Da, 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 da. I'm like, cool. Take care of that. And he still wants to do it because we talk like every so often.
So that there's a level of trust right there. So easily that guy could drive it up to you and now you've got the car. And now you owe him 50 hours of work.
Right.
He's got to believe that you're going to give him 50 hours. Like, so what are you going to do? I mean, that's more than a back.
It's going to be kind of like one of those, you know, write down what you did, sign off on it, maybe.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I have another layer to this question, too. It's
a level of commitment for that guy, too. Like, what happens if after 20 hours, like, dude, I'm done. I don't want any more tattoos.
Right.
That's on him.
You work at a shop.
Then I still got the car. Yeah.
And you say you work at a shop, and you work at a shop for someone who is not a tattooer.
Right.
Would you be doing that work at your shop?
I do that work in my own studio in where I live.
You would do it at your own place?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I just don't want to involve the shop with it, even though the boss already said it was cool. I just don't want to, like, when I go to the shop, I want to work at the shop and do shop things.
Yeah, it's being respectful because he's not going to get a part of any cut unless you started paying the shop out of your own pocket.
Right.
For tattoos.
But he said I don't have to do any of that and that he would be cool if I just did it and like tell people about it. Like, hey, I did a trade at this shop. And I'm like, I don't think that's going to benefit anybody.
Right. Except for you.
Yeah, except for me.
Yeah. Like, for example, like for me, like once in a while, like I don't care if like, you know, a tattooer like tattoos their friend, their cousin, whatever. Like, oh, it's my cousin, bro. You know, I'm like, oh, fine, whatever. But a 50-hour piece, I'd be like,
wow. And the craziest thing of all is you figure if somebody gave you 50 hours of tattoo work, you'd probably go for something large, like a back piece or like, you know, large scale work. This guy wants all small to medium sized stuff.
So that's what I'm saying, like
50 tattoos.
Yeah. Yes. So just like, you know, do a chunk here, do a chunk there until it's all done. There's going to be a lot of tattoos. Yeah, it's kind of nice because then that way it's not excruciating and he can come get the few that he wants and then be on his way.
You're going to be tattooing that guy for like the next 50 years.
Yeah.
It's fine. Fine with me.
Yeah.
Wow. Get him a card.
Unless either one of us die first.
Yeah, you're going to have that car's going to be gone, sold, or broken down somewhere and you're still going to be tattooing this guy. No, that's cool though. I think that's awesome. I never thought about doing products.
I mean, imagine my surprise when the guy said yes. I couldn't believe that. I'm like, no, are you sure? Like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, good work. And I had him send some examples because I was curious as to what are you going to get?
Yeah.
And he sent like, not base, I don't want to say basic, like, but pretty basic things. Like super easy stuff that like, you know, it's not going to bug me to do it.
Yeah.
Like I'll do this forever. Like, I don't care. That's, I love tattooing.
That's cool.
Skulls.
And the car is freaking nice. It's real nice.
But it needs work.
It's a three, what is it? Three on the tree?
Three.
So it's a manual, yeah, but you shift it like this. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I remember the first time I ever saw that, I was down in New Orleans. And so I was going down for a bachelor party. And the groom's cousin lives down there. So he was taking us all around. And he had this old car. I don't even know what it was, but it was that. That was called Three on the Tree.
Yeah, Three on the Tree.
And I was so blown away. I was like, man, I've never seen this before. This is so wild. Yeah,
it's
cool.
It's got to feel weird shifting like that, like while you're driving. Because normally you like put it into drive and then drive.
Yeah.
It's cool. Wow. It'll be a learning experience.
Wow.
You see me stalling out in somewhere in Troy.
So other than goods, you ever trade for service?
Not that I can remember. During COVID or like right before everything shut down, I did, I guess it would be goods. It was toilet paper and hand sanitizer. Okay. I said, I will do this because I didn't know, you know, when it happened, like nobody really, you didn't know until you knew. Yeah. So I went to the grocery store. I'm like, where's all the toilet paper? Like, why is everywhere out of toilet paper? People are like, oh, you don't know? Like, it's pandemic. Like, well, why is the toilet paper gone? Like, are you guys just going to be shitting everywhere? Like, so I put out a message. I'm like, I have a family. We need to wipe our asses. So I put out a message and somebody came and gave me a whole bunch of toilet paper for like a Dragon Ball tattoo.
Bro, I don't know how people just didn't go like, I'm just going to go to Home Depot, get a little hose attachment.
We
all got a bidet.
Did you see that post recently? No. Someone just did that.
It's so unique. Yeah.
That's not standard in the US yet.
That should be standard in the US. But no, I think there's a monopoly by the toilet paper makers, bro, mm-hmm. to make sure that they keep getting this money because they're printing out literally paper money.
Yeah.
Because so much easier. Just get a nice, just clean yourself.
Only my grandma had one.
A bidet?
Yeah.
They're super nice.
Yeah. The post that I saw today was literally just a toilet. And then a hose run from outside right underneath the seat pointing up.
So funny. No, I didn't see that.
I mean, you'd have to kind of hold it to control it, I guess.
Yeah, for real. But like, that's such a standard thing in like Europe, you know, definitely in the Middle East, you know, but like, it's a standard thing. And like here, it's just like, wow, you fancy. You got a bidet?
You ever used one?
Yeah.
I've never used one.
Oh my God. It's so great.
It's a squirt gun for your butt.
Still weird.
Especially if it's like, you know,
I could talk anybody into getting one.
Yeah. If you have like a fancy bidet that has like water pressure that's regulated and
seat warmer.
Warm. Like a Toto toilet. Insane, dude.
You ever see the Bob's Burgers episode where they had the talking toilet?
No. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not the one where you get stuck on it, is it?
No. I forgot the details about it, but like somehow Gene wound up having this toilet like in his possession and he was like out in the woods talking to it. And the toilet's like, oh, my battery's about to die. And Gene's like, no, I got to find you a power source.
The Apple toilet. We're not that far off.
Probably not.
Put on a headset and play some games.
Now, before you know it, the technology should be up to, I mean, we got AI, but we can't get a better version of a toilet, dude. Like, this is crazy. This is crazy.
They have them in Japan.
They do.
Japan's in the future.
They have been for a long time.
Yeah. Right.
Something that I saw related to Japan the other day was like this Japanese mob boss got caught in Thailand because they recognize his tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
He's been on the run for like ever, dude. And somebody recognized his work. He was a Yakuza boss.
I know that saturation anywhere.
The work on him. Yeah. They recognize the work on him.
That's somebody crazy. Was like taking videos and that's how the video went viral, I think.
Oh, really?
And that's how he was in it.
Those meddling kids.
So.
Damn.
Busted. Man, if you're on the run and you're tattooed, cover up.
Yeah.
He was chilling. He was in.
I mean, hasn't that always 70? Been a thing? Like 70s? Identifying markers, got to cover them up. And then the one time somebody doesn't.
My brother-in-law is a detective and all the time he sends me photos. He's like, you recognize this person? You recognize these tattoos? I'm like, I
know this is. Well, you're my tattoo guy. You should know these things.
Or he'll send me pictures of tattoos. Like, do you know what this means or anything like that? Like, so I mean, they're definitely used.
Yeah. Huh. It means they got a tattoo. Oops. If it's like some Russian like prison tattoos, then you might know what some of those mean.
Man, I'll admit, a lot of those things, I don't
know anything.
Yeah. It means that you were in prison.
My buddy, shout out to Steve Kaiser. He asked me to do some, he had a Russian prison book and he had me do stars.
Stars. On the knees. So stars on
shoulders.
Shoulders or knees. Yeah,
I've seen that book.
Or ranks.
And so. I was like, okay. I'm like, I don't know what it means. I don't know why he wanted it. He only got through one kneecap though. That was enough.
But you
I don't know what that means now either. Oh, man.
But if he runs into the wrong crowd in Russia, then he's in trouble. Well,
tell them to go to the Russian bats in the city.
What does that mean? A star?
Well, you have to really earn those.
Okay.
You cannot just get them.
Like if you have it and you're not that ranked, then you're going to get jumped or something like that.
So ranked in what?
In the prison.
Okay.
Or
as like you're the prison man or you just came in or.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Commander. Like your level of authority in the gang.
Hierarchy.
Hierarchy.
And then, Steve, I wish you well.
Keep those shoulders covered.
Oh, man.
Don't go to the beach.
Nope.
So what did you guys tattoo this week?
I worked on like a few back pieces and I finished a sleeve yesterday and that was the best. Like, so I started this sleeve on Chad. Probably less than a year ago. And he's just been committed and consistent on getting his work done. And the shortest session we ever did was 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Every other session was between 5 and 6 at least. And he always came, sat like a rock, no complaints, always with a general idea of what he wanted, but he would just let me do my thing however I want to interpret it. And we finished it yesterday and I'm so stoked on it. Thank you so much, man, because that is an all-star client, man. Nice. You get a gold star.
Perfect situation.
Yeah.
Cool.
Somebody that comes in, is open, and trusts.
Which one was that? Was Steve?
He has like a clipper ship that's kind of sailing through the night sky.
Oh, yeah.
On the upper arm. And then on the inner arm, we started with that lighthouse. And it's all related, you know, loosely, except for like the inner part. It's like Cape Cod. Okay. So he has like really childhood memories growing up there. And so like inside, we did yesterday, we did like a compass and the outline of Cape Cod and the coordinates of Cape Cod.
Okay, cool.
And that's one of those things, like when somebody says like, hey, I want the coordinates, I want the outline of Cape Cod, and I want a compass, you know?
And you're like, oh,
and
really?
You're like, and then I'm like, started thinking, I'm like, oh no, this could be cool. And then I just figured out like a cool kind of layout for it to make it look like an old map behind, like with the coordinates somewhere in there. And mm-hmm. it actually worked perfectly with a good way to kind of finish the sleeve. But that's all in the inner arm. And, I'm pumped on a sleeve.
You had the space to work with it like properly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of trying to cram it into a small area, a
tiny design, you know, at first is a first idea was like, can we do the compass inside of the outline of Cape Cod? And I was like, what does it look like? And I saw him like, no way, nothing fitting in there, bro.
Like a chicken nugget
in there. It's like so small and has like an awkward space, you know?
Yeah.
Looks kind of like an L. And I was like, no, it's not. We're not putting anything in there. Don't worry. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
And then, I worked on a back piece and, that's man working on a back. I don't know if you've had your back tattooed. Do you have your back tattooed?
I do not. That's the only thing I don't have tattooed.
So if you have your back tattooed, my least favorite part of my back where I got tattooed was like the area around the armpit, you know, kind of like from like the rib all the way around to like the back. That is terrible.
Yeah.
That just feels terrible the whole time.
Yeah.
It just feels really irritating to the skin and it just hurts. And it's funny because you would think like, oh, your lats are kind of there and it's like a big muscle and it shouldn't hurt that bad, but it does.
Probably just feels different.
Yeah.
Like all the spots are on the back, like all the different kinds of spots.
And then there's crazy parts of your back where you're like, oh, my spine's going to maybe hurt. It doesn't hurt that bad actually at all.
No?
No.
The spine. That and the love handles, you think?
Yes.
It's the worst?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of like around here on the armpit area and then down kind of by your love handles. That hurts a lot. Uh-huh. And the spot, like, you know, like where you would get like a kidney punch, that shit hurts a lot to get tattooed. They're so soft. There's like,
and that's all the spots you were hitting the other day.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Do you guys
all those spots at one time? I was like, we're going to do this today.
Do you guys all prefer doing large scale work?
So,
or like a little bit of everything.
I have a love hate relationship with large scale work because I don't like, I shouldn't say I don't like it because that's not true. I'd rather have something done on the day that I start it for multiple reasons. You get a better picture out of it when right. everything is all the same freshness. And two is just that instant gratification. Like I did this, it's done. I'm over with it. Right.
Yeah.
But I like large scale work because you just got to draw once.
Right.
Right. I hate having to constantly draw new things over and over again. A small piece today, small piece tomorrow, small piece the next day. I just got to draw one back piece.
And then focus on that.
Work on that guy for the next year. It's yeah. like so many fewer things that I have to draw for.
Yes.
It's great.
For the large stuff, I get like anxiety about that because it's like you have the one big thing planned and you have like a vision for it. And then now it's up to that person to like
commit.
Yeah. Like commit and get it. You don't want to get it done as quickly as possible, but you don't want too much time to pass before you finish it.
Yeah.
Because your brain is going to be in a completely different place by the end of it than it was in the beginning.
That end. So I'm working on a back piece right now that I worked on at the convention. This guy started it really not that long ago, about a year ago.
He's been on it too.
Yeah, he's been on it. So he comes down from Canada. He always does 2 days in a row and then he'll come back, but he doesn't come back for like 4 or 5 months at a time.
Right.
So we're only like three visits, six sessions in altogether, mm-hmm. but they've been spread out for a while.
Yeah.
And I have another at least 2 to 3 more sessions in it. So it probably won't be done for at least another year and a half.
Right.
From like the rate that he's going. And it already is at a point where my drawing style or like my design choices have changed.
Right. And that's what I'm scared of.
Yeah. So like,
cause you change with like technically every tattoo, you learn something.
Totally. Yeah. So now I'm working on something that every time I look at it, I'm like, man, I would have done this so much different. Mm-hmm. I wish I did this way.
And I feel like I would chip back into the tattoo too far each time.
Yeah.
Like I would see something like, hold on, let's work on that.
Yeah.
And then every session is like, why am I redoing stuff over and over?
Yep.
Instead of just finishing it.
Yeah.
I love doing little to medium stuff.
I love doing large work and even medium stuff. Well, not medium, large, but not like
honestly, extra like, medium.
It's hard to say medium, large, you know, but like, to me, a medium-sized tattoo would be like a half sleeve. that's a medium-sized tattoo.
Well, it's like nowadays, a small tattoo is like this.
Right. Big. You know, it's like a micro. Yeah.
I would say in like tattoo language, like for me, medium, large would be like one sitting.
Right.
Like large would be like one sitting, but like you probably got to sit for a little while, but like one sitting, like one. Don't need to break it up into more than one.
So to me, medium. It would be half sleeve, no background.
Okay. That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It would be like a full outside of the arm, like shoulder to elbow.
Background
another session. To me, that's like a medium sized tattoo. Okay. Large tattoo would be like, you know, half sleeve, full background. You know, that's a large tattoo.
Yeah.
That'd probably be 2 sessions, even though I could do that in 1 session, but neither I nor the client would probably want to do that. We'd be hurting at the end of the day.
That's all large for me. I did a snake wrap and we just did the line work because it took me so long to draw it.
Yeah.
Because you had to wrap. I had her here for like 3-4 hours just for the drawing.
I feel partly responsible for why it was so long for him. I kept making him change things.
But it worked out, so I'm happy.
Yeah,
that's all that matters.
But then the second session where we do the shading is going to take me nothing because it's minimal shading, maybe 2 hours.
Oh, it'll be quick.
Yeah.
So you put in the groundwork in the first day.
Yeah, that's it.
But I firmly believe that like once you're doing a large tattoo, it just comes out better if you have 2 sessions on that tattoo.
Yeah.
The overall healing
is
just better.
Even just, you know, for me specifically, I love doing black on black.
Mm-hmm. Like a Titan session.
Oh, where it's like, I did solid black and I'm going to repack some of this black so it's dark as night. Mm-hmm. It's going to be
dense.
So dense and so dark. It's going to be so obvious that is the darkest point of the tattoo, you know, and it's going to look extra solid. And you get, I mean,
it makes a huge difference.
It does. I mean, I've done it in one session and it looks good, but on any tattoo I've ever done, if it gets two passes, it just gets so rich and so dense. And I'm like, yes, that's what I want. I want that every time.
Cool. I think so that back piece that I was doing, or that I am doing, there was a session in the beginning where we filled in solid fields of black that now it's been a year later. They're not black, black anymore. They're like gray. And some of it's not even that solid. So like what you were saying before, having to go back over that in the session is taking up so much time of our short visit.
Yeah.
Right.
That I feel like it's making the progress go even slower.
Well, and it's usually the artist decision to do it, because like the person that's wearing it is doesn't notice it, but you notice it,
especially on your back.
They're like, oh, like, it's so cool, it's almost done, and you're like, nah,
yeah,
I'm gonna go back into this.
Man, that's why I like have you seen there's a few people that do it, but I'm gonna shout out the homie Jake Tattoos, because he does beautiful large scale work, a lot of Japanese work, and a lot of times he saves those huge big fields of in line specifically toward the end of the tattoo.
Yeah.
He's smart. Gonna, you know, line them with like a gray wash, real fine line to keep a really nice tight outline to everything. Mm. And with the large scale pieces. And then you'll see in his very last session, that's when he did his power lines and his like super heavy blacks. And it creates such a strong contrast between like healed color next to that really strong black. It looks, that color looks extra bright.
Yeah. It's kind of like a painterly approach.
Yeah.
I hope he comes back and guest spots again.
He is actually.
Cool.
Jake will be back this summer. Really stoked for him to come back. And we're going to plan to definitely do a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, we planned last time, right? But it just didn't work out.
It just didn't work out. Yeah. Long days.
So that waiting for the outline to the end thing, I don't know if he still does it, but Timmy B at least used to do that. And I picked up that trick from him a while ago and it works.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to add is even sometimes if someone wants to redo an old tattoo, just redoing the outline and the black
makes
sometimes
a big difference.
That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
And it looks bright again.
Yeah.
That's like if you do like watercolor painting and you line it and then you paint it, if you go back in and you reline it real quick, it like bing, pops right out.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So all that black gets washed out a little bit with the paint and the colors.
You know, Matt, you mentioned about larger scale pieces where you do all the line work and then you just keep going and doing shading and black. And I booked something yesterday. I booked one of my very few back pieces. And at the beginning, I thought, oh, I should just do line work, outlines, and then next sessions will be tightening up. But I feel for what I'm doing, I have to break it into pieces because I can... I don't know.
Concentrate on it.
The cross hatching. Yeah, I cannot really map it as well on the skin. There's some people who map a piece when they do engraving work, but I'm like scared of doing that.
You do like one step and then the next step and then the next step.
Yeah, I like to have the stencil kind of ready on the skin rather than doing a map like you would do with realism.
Right.
Where everything is
like a custom
dots
map.
And lines and you can read it, not other people cannot read it.
And then
it.
You can cross hatch where you want.
Yeah.
So I may do like bottom piece, center up, and kind of.
It just resets like every time?
Yeah.
I would think if you were going to do like a large scale piece in your style, I would approach it that way. It's like, all right, I'm going to stencil what I'm going to tattoo this day. First day, I probably stencil the whole thing just so I can make sure that it's everything fits. And then after that, just like, this, just parts. That, you know, and just kind of split it up.
Yeah.
When's the last time you guys hand stenciled something? Probably like for a portrait or something.
A what?
Hand stencil.
Last time I applied hand pressure to a stencil was only like a couple of days ago because we had an issue with the stencil machine that it didn't make it dark enough, so I just went over it.
Oh,
but to start from start to finish, I haven't done a hand stencil in years.
Yeah,
same.
I did
even for portraits, bro.
Really? Portraits, you make it on the iPad.
Yeah, I use the Ghostline app. I use the Ghostline app. It just works really, really well.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I did one. Accuracy. Did one the other day because I had to, and when I peeled the stencil, I was like, man, this thing is clean. Like, it's so clean. There's no chatter or, you know, things that sometimes the Thermofax does for no reason.
Cool.
But I'm just like, it takes so much time to do this.
What was the paper that you actually transferred onto?
I did it on the regular, like, Thermofax paper. Okay. Like, I printed out a little bit lighter, and then I tape it on top.
Yeah.
And then.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, I don't get how people do it on, like, photo paper. It's so thick.
Yeah.
Like, I've done like that before, too.
With just you like
on,
that?
On regular, I don't like it, but I've had to do it.
You got to use what you got to use.
I don't understand it.
Yeah. I don't like it, but I've had to do it.
So you guys all use iPads also, right? Like iPads.
Except Gabe. Gabe.
He's still got a red.
He hand draws everything. See, I have a, it's an iPad, but it's a Surface. I use a Surface Pro.
Yeah.
And the Surface, like, because it's a tablet and a laptop, you can put like Photoshop and Illustrator.
Oh, cool.
So you can draw in a regular drawing program first. And then if you want to like spice it up or do more to it or use it for graphic design, then you can throw it into either Illustrator or Photoshop.
So what program are you drawing with?
I'm using Sketchbook.
Okay.
Sketchbook Pro. And people see me drawing on it and they're like, what the hell is that? Because it's not Procreate. Because it's, like, what is that?
I used to use Sketchbook Pro when I used to draw on... Cintiq.
Yeah. It's basically like a scaled down version for the tablet that I have, but it's does everything you need it to do.
That was a nice app. Like
it is. And it was free, but now you have to pay like $20, something like that.
Oh, damn.
Like a one-time prescription.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I do sometimes, not with every tattoo, I will freehand a loose version of what I want to see. Because like there's something about, especially I use a small iPad. You have a big iPad, which feels like your hand movements can be bigger.
Yeah, a little
bit. Yeah. So like I use a small iPad just because it's easier to carry around and travel and shit like that.
Compact.
So like when I try to draw a large scale piece on the small thing, it just doesn't feel right.
Right.
Like it just feels
I get what you're saying.
And especially if I have like a body part or like the person's arm is very like just not a straight flat surface, like
You know what I'm distorted.
Saying? Like, it's distorted a bit. So I'm like, I got to freehand this so I can see it, how I see it in my head. Because if I try it on the iPad, it doesn't work. It feels odd.
Right.
So then I'll freehand it and then I'll have like a, kind of like a, either a loose drawing or sometimes like a tighter version of it. And then I'm going to take a picture of that with my iPad
and
then I'm
going
to make a final stencil in the iPad real quick. And then that, I feel like that gives me better rendition of what I saw from the rib by looking at that person's arm.
It's going to come out that much better.
You get a lot more flow like that. Yep. It does it. The drawing feels less stiff. It feels like it just fits better and just, I don't know.
And then that's you didn't have to spend the actual time to like freehand it on the skin.
Right. And then overall, like you just have more confidence on having a nice solid stencil that you can move a millimeter over. If you're like, oh, that should be like 2 inches over.
Yeah.
It should be.
It's going to be a lot closer than guessing.
You know, exactly. Then, you know, that's the only thing when if you spend too much time freehanding something and then you're like,
oh, I feel like can we like a
millimeter over. Let me switch to the blue marker.
Motherfucker. You know, like it's doable. You can, but
I drew all the scales, but
it's easier to just, you know, that's why though, when you do freehand, you should definitely build slowly. Yeah. Don't draw any details till you have just exactly where it's going to be. But I feel like when you freehand, you know, even the customer wants to see a little more, you know, unless they're just completely like, yeah, man, just do whatever, do your thing.
Absolutely. I think the shop that I'm in now is part of the reason why I like doing smaller stuff because I get to put, you know, just as much time and effort into smaller pieces and make them like really cool.
Yeah.
Like the person comes in for this simple thing, but then I'm like, let's do this. And they're like, oh man, like I didn't know you can improve on something like so small and so simple. And then they, you know, gradually get bigger and bigger pieces.
I will agree with that though. Like if I had the choice to do a small, let's say 3 hour tattoo or a one sitting 6 or 7 hour tattoo, probably go for the 3 hour tattoo. Cause I know that in 3 hours, I can give 100% all 3 hours. You can
make it awesome.
I'll give 100% all 3 hours. If I were to do a 7 hour tattoo, by hour six and a half, like I'm not giving 100, maybe 90%, maybe 85%, right. But like, I'm definitely starting to lose focus at that point.
And that person in the chair is, you know,
they're done.
They're ready to scamper away.
But that like last couple of like that last little bit of each tattoo, I feel like that's what makes it. Absolutely. If you're not putting 100% into that last little bit, you might as well stop. Just give up.
Yeah, and when you feel how uncomfortable somebody can be, it affects you.
Yeah.
You're like, I know this shit sucks. Like,
someone emailed me, he wanted to get a couple of pieces done and I couldn't do it in like the time frame that he wanted to do it. So he was like, oh man, what if I just do like a 12-hour session? I could do it. I was like, I don't care if you could do it. I don't care.
It's not reasonable.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do 12 hours of anything.
Right?
Nope. Yeah.
Dude, I know some tattooers that do 12-hour sessions like every time they tattoo.
I always wonder about those people. Like, what at what point are you just going to...
I know some people that do it at least 4 to 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Yeah, like the anime, like the full color anime artists.
It's kind of
like every single day, like an entire thigh.
And they're going to be there all day.
I feel like after a couple of years, your body will just crumble.
Yeah, that can't be sustainable.
It can't be sustainable, but also I think that it's a matter of like finding a good pace of like some of the people that I'm talking about that do this, they start their tattoo days. They're tattooing at like, you get to the shop
9 a.m.
You're going to start tattooing by like 11 a.m. You're going to have lunch around like 2-3. There's like a pace, you know, they're going to have breaks. They're going to have like, it's going to be a whole day. You're going to be with them all day long, but damn, you're going to be like 9 to 9, you know, solid full day of work.
Yeah, no thanks.
That's
just all shredded up.
What I'm talking about, they're going to charge you, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 at least. For these days,
for that day.
At least for that day.
And I've had people sit for that stuff, but it's like both of you are like sweating and miserable and hungry and at the end.
Hey man, I give both the artist and the client a lot of credit for being able to do that.
Yeah.
Like every once in a while. Cool.
I've done like Friday 13th tattoo specials like that. And next day I feel like crap.
I know though, like that's different for whatever reason.
That feels different to me too.
Yeah.
They're so fun, different. But you know, the next day you're so beaten up.
But even like if it's not even Friday the 13th, like let's say you're just taking walk-ups all day, a Saturday at a convention. And let's say you do like 6 or 7 tattoos and each one is a couple of hours or an hour each. Like just the idea of, all right, I finished this one. I'm done.
Reset.
Stop, reset. Yeah. That I could see doing that for 12 hours a day. Not every day, but I'd be more
willing
to do that than to do like one sitting all day long, just work on the same thing all
day. How about blackouts? When you're like, okay, cool. We'll start from here, finish here.
Dude, I enjoy doing blackouts.
They're fun, right?
So much.
Meditating.
Yes. Right? Yeah. And there's, I mean, I can look away, dude.
You don't have to plan.
I can
look
away at any point in time, dude. I can be blacking out because it's how it feels, mm-hmm. you know? If I feel it, I'm like, oh, everything that I'm doing right here is going in. I can literally just look away and just be like, yeah, bro, just keep going.
You don't have to plan the final result.
It's going
to
be all black. And
John's watching Love is Blind as he does.
For sure, dude. If I had a TV here, that's definitely one of the things we'd be watching. So that's why there's no TV here.
You want to know what it's going to look like? Wow. Close your eyes.
Yeah, it's dark as
black.
But it is so enjoyable to do a blackout.
You know, I've never done one of those. I've never done like a full blackout.
They're fun. I still find them very challenging. Like
that's where I think that people don't understand. Like, oh, it's just black. How hard is that? It's hard, man.
It's real hard. Yeah.
Dude, like the guys in Philly, there's one shop that all they do is blackouts and they're all pitch black. Nice. It's crazy.
Well, one thing, if you see somebody do a blackout and you can kind of pick apart their technique.
Yeah.
And you are good about looking and be like, oh, I can replicate what the hell they're doing. It's using the right setup, the right ink, the right technique. If you do that, you can crush it. You know, it's also like, it sucks. I've seen people try to do blackouts and then the person either has a terrible heel, just freaking chews them up in certain spots. And that fucking sucks. Cause then unfortunately, next time they go over it, that trauma to that skin is not going to give them that silky blackout
that
they're looking for, you know? So that's why it's tricky. And if you don't get a section in a nice, consistent, like one pass, you're gonna have to give it a whole nother pass, you know, because it's hard to get it nice and silky black, like, you know, smooth. The guys from Philly that you're talking about, you know, either, I mean, to me, like the people that are killing it doing that kind of stuff, like Rocks out in LA and then Hoodie in Philly, just crushing those blackouts, you know. But
so every time I have to do any sort of like solid black area, I just go to Hoodie's account. I'm like, I just browse just to get
how dark.
Yeah.
I was always taught that it's like mowing grass.
Yeah.
Like you have to, everything has to be evenly pushed down. If you're not doing it correctly, like there's little spots where the grass is still sticking up. Yeah. You got to get that.
Got to slightly overlap each line.
Just like mowing the grass. Mowing wet grass.
On one of my first blackouts, the way that I did it to make myself be more entertained and to be more skillful with this kind of technique, I laid out a grid. I just used a marker and I made a grid. That way I could be like,
that's smart.
One box at a time. Mm-hmm. Just keep blocking out these boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't move out to another box till this box
is perfect. Black,
you know, and it just gave you structure of like, all right.
And you just blend into the next box.
Before you move away, just make sure those right here are solid black.
If you don't rush, you'll be done faster.
Correct.
Yeah.
So. And hopefully when it heals, it doesn't look like a checkered. it doesn't look
patchy, you know, by just moving nice and consistent and just filling out each block. But then after you get good at it, you can just start moving. Your brain will just start going.
Naturally.
Yeah. Start doing that.
It's cool.
That's funny. Like, making it look like a checkered board.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it heals and it's all black, but then you look at it a certain way and you're like,
some boxes are
I see squares,
you know?
Oh, I like that checker effect.
Kind of thing.
And then what do you think about? So let's say you got a spot that it's not scarred, but it's not solid black, right? It's a little patchy, maybe even just a little bit lighter even. Now you do a second pass over that spot. Is that going to be darker than the places that only have single paths?
Mm. If it's a scar, is it going to take the ink the same way?
Well, I'm saying if it's not scarred.
Oh, if it's not scarred.
It's scarred. It's just patchy.
Yeah.
Man.
Just brush it in.
Honestly, I can't tell you the answer to that. I'm not 100% sure. Good.
He gets a solid 100% black ink.
No. The times that,
probably.
Blackouts, yes, it has worked out that way where like I came back and I was like,
damn.
Yeah.
Dust.
Do you ever do the trick where they like you're supposed to saturate like a paper towel full of green soap?
Oh yeah.
And then you put it on the area and let it sit for a minute, and then when you lift it off, it'll show you like the raised spots and the lower spots.
No. I just take my green soap and I literally just hose down.
Yeah, yeah. I get it wet.
You can see everything.
Because like if there's any spots that are higher or lower, that's where it's like the packing was like a little uneven. And then you just go back in and touch it.
What do you mean
up.
By higher, like the skin texture?
Yeah, like whatever you mowed down is going to be lower. And then whatever you didn't saturate enough will be higher.
Okay.
So the stuff that's higher, you got to like mow it down to match. Hmm. Like the wetness of the towel, like, you know, exposes the skin that way, I guess.
I saw
somebody do it and I'm like, what happened to his skin? He's like explaining it to me. Like, this is where it was worked more than this was worked
interesting.
Less.
Interesting. Never heard that before
either. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just a little bit of Bactine will show you the glare.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Bactine will show you the
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
do you notice some people the Bactine burns and some people it doesn't?
No.
I just think those people are just pussies.
Yeah. A lot of people, the green soap burned. And I was like,
yeah, like, what are you talking about, bro?
I guess the green soap can burn if it's like too if you concentrated. Yeah.
My man, some people think pepper is spicy.
Like mayonnaise. I started using water recently. Like water. Just water and then green soap like at the very end.
I do that. Yeah.
Because somebody told me like the green soap, if you use it like a lot, dries the skin out, makes it more intense.
So
I don't put a ton of green soap in.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I put a lot of green soap.
Do you?
Yeah. So when you shave it, it's just like,
that does make a big difference. That's true.
The hair comes right off of
it. I remember yelling at Vega a couple of times because there wasn't enough green soap.
And then you end up scratching them.
Yeah.
And then it's irritated.
No, when you're shaving.
Oh, dry shaving.
Dry shaving.
Water shaving.
Some people's skin is
dry shave.
Yeah, some people's skin like reacts to that terribly.
Yeah.
Then you go tattoo them and they're already red before you even start.
Cool. Oh, I have a cool story about last week. I put a stencil in a client. I go tattoo her 10, 15 minutes later, and I start wiping 5 minutes in, and the stencil starts coming off.
It's on her kneecap?
No, it was on her...
He's just rubbing it. Yeah,
I'm just rubbing my hair. And the stencil starts disappearing. It's kind of flaky.
What stencil?
Her skin was coming off.
So it turns out she went to Florida, got a sunburn.
Yep. Oh,
man. She started flaking off.
So you're tattooing like half dead skin and half live skin.
Exactly.
Gross.
So
that happens a lot down there.
Oh, man. But the whole stencil is like...
It's flaking all the way.
I've never had this happen to me. It was horrible.
There's people that have like some skin conditions too, where it just does that. Yeah. Like it comes off and it's like, well, how's it going to heal? And then you see it heal. It's like, oh, it doesn't look that bad. But while you were doing it, you were like wiping off chunks of skin.
I mean, I clean. The dead skin is all gone by the time we finish the tattoo. So
charge extra.
You're like, man,
exfoliation.
She kept apologizing, and I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. You know?
No idols, tattoo, and spa.
So on Tuesday, I was tattooing my client Izzy, and she's getting the one dead deer and one alive deer on both sides of her. It's like her hips, her ribs, her under boobs or sternum, like it's a big piece.
Tall, horrible spot to get tattooed.
Huge. Yeah.
She's doing good.
She's doing really, really good. And while we were like towards the end of our session, my wife calls me and she's like, Monty's not looking good, my dog. And so he got diagnosed 2 years ago with cancer. He had a nasal tumor, and he's been looking pretty rough for the last couple of months. But Tuesday, Nicole's like, yeah, he's just not looking good. So I'm telling Izzy about this. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then we finish that session. I go home and I'm like, yeah, man, we got to go to the vet. So Tuesday night, I wound up having to put Monty down.
Mm-hmm. All right,
I'm going to try and get through this without crying.
Oh, man.
And
we're here for you.
It was the last couple of days were super, super tough. So I'm actually glad that my appointment canceled today, because it's like the only thing I've been thinking about.
Oh, yeah. Man, sorry, man. I hate that, man. Yeah.
I mean, you had that dog since he was a puppy.
Yeah, we got him, and we bought our house, and we moved in October of 2012, and then January of 2013, we had him.
What?
So he lived in that house just as long as we have.
Oh, man.
And it's super empty and weird without him there.
Four kids.
Yeah.
Before kids,
yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
How do your kids feel about it?
You know, so Alex is, she's so young, she doesn't really understand. And like even today, like, so we still have another dog, we have Sophie, and we were giving Sophie treats. And then Alex is like, oh, I'm going to give Monty one. I'm like, oh, Alex, Monty's not here, man.
Yeah.
But Sammy, we thought that he would be more upset, and he just like, okay, he's not here anymore. It's like, all right, so at least you're not bummed about it.
They understand kind of quickly.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
How old are they?
3 and 6.
3 and 6. Wow.
Yeah.
Got your hands full.
Yep.
And 2 dogs.
It's fun, though. Yeah. It teaches you a lot about yourself.
Yeah. So that was my week.
It sucks. Was it the first dog that you lose?
Officially, yeah. So I had a family dog that was really my brother's. So when he moved out, she went with him, and he had to put her down a couple of years ago. So it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
Like this one, like I was there and I watched it happen.
Yeah.
Like that was, it was hard.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Really hard.
When I had my first dog that I basically buried with my own hands, after that, I got the memo. Any other pet I lose, it sucks, but I know it's part of the circle.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Big lesson learned. Sorry to bum everybody out, but I just
got
to get that out. No, man, thanks for sharing that, man, because that's...
Does it help you at all when you're explaining it to your kids?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. It's funny, like, I thought that I would get a bigger reaction out of my son, and I didn't.
Right.
And I almost feel like that's even more painful sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, they're
he doesn't understand.
That's your brother.
He understands, yeah. But not like he doesn't have that deep bond.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was my homie. Hmm. That dog, like, he was a big dog and he had a big presence. And he barked. So he was in his prime, he was like 120 pounds. Wow. And he barked like he was 220 pounds.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So, like, there's definitely a big void in the house now.
It was like a St. Bernard mix.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know what he was mixed with, but he was St. Bernard. He was a big boy.
Yeah, you could lay on him. It's your pillow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Your pal. Well, oh, this episode goes out to Monty. RIP
yep.
Monty.
Yep. Love you,
buddy. And anything else to add, you guys, before we sign off?
This was a fun one.
It was a fun one.
Yeah. Eat your vegetables.
I do want to thank our Patreon supporters. I finally added the other tier.
Yes.
I've been talking about it.
Wait, is it a higher tier?
No. Well, I mean, it's an in-between tier.
Oh.
Okay. So anybody who has been the Tratty Daddy tier, which was our highest paid one, you're still going to be in that tier, but that is now renamed. So the Tratty Daddy name is now below that one. And whoever was a Tratty Daddy is now a Tat God.
You're a Tat God.
Ooh, I'm a Tat God now.
Damn.
So if you want to become a Tat God, just like Branny. Yeah, Branny's a Patreon supporter.
Oh, hey.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much.
Of course, of course. Yeah, it's the least I can do.
Full clap for that.
Yeah. If you want to be like Branny and be a Tat God, head over to patreon.com/honesttattooer and select a tier that's appropriate for you. There are now four tiers. There's also a free tier. So I guess there's five. We do not contribute anything to the free
tier.
The free tier. So if you are on that, I'm sorry, but there's just nothing there for you.
There's nothing there. There's nothing there.
Still, thank you.
It's worth it, guys. It's worth it.
Because the show's free.
Well, like these guys don't have to do this for you, you know, like, but we choose to,
and we're happy to do it, and we have a really good time. And thank you guys so much for joining us today, and we hopefully see you next week.
Yeah,
thank you guys for joining us.
Bye.
Good night.